This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version. So then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water, just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker, and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
That kid probably sounds much different now. How old is that? 10 years? Everything's 10 years for me. Say it's 10 years. The kid probably sounds... Oh, he's the ambassador to... I don't know. He's probably, you know, older. What a take. Let's start on that note. Bulldog is off again today. I really enjoyed yesterday talking about baseball and backstories that I and many of you had. I really was glad to get as much feedback on that as I did. Why you love the team you love. Like, what's that story? Might even be able to fit in some more of that today. I did say yesterday at one point, since we were doing, like, love, basically, today we should do hate. Why you hate the teams that you hate, if you do actually hate. I know you're not supposed to hate, but it's fun to hate, right? It's just sports. It's pretty harmless. And I think it's also kind of, like, easy, right? Who are you supposed to hate? You're supposed to hate, well, right now it's the Chiefs, right? You gotta hate the Chiefs. I'm more jealous than I am sort of hating on them, but sure, close enough. New England was this. New England was, to me, much more hateable than, these are football teams, by the way, much more hateable than Kansas City is. Just because it felt dirty, the Patriot thing, in a way that the Chiefs thing really doesn't at all, I think, anyway. But that's dissipated, and if it's not Kansas City, like the Bills have been so good, it makes it, you know, sort of like you don't need as much to hate the other teams. Even like the Ravens, for as good as the Ravens have been, the Bills have beaten them twice in the playoffs. They've beaten them when it counts. So I don't know, you can hate them, I guess, but it seems kind of weird too. The Bills have lorded over the division. So unless it's nostalgic, Dolphins, Jets. It's a little bit manufactured, I think it would be for me. So football, I'm kind of like not there in terms of hate for almost anybody. Baseball, so we did this for baseball yesterday, and it's kind of the same for me. I mean, I'm not so attached to a team. When I was really into the Mets, I mean, there were teams that I hated. I had just that few years where the Yankee dynasty happened in the late 90s where I just kind of hated all of that. But now, I mean, I watched a lot of baseball yesterday. I don't like the Yankees, but it's not intense, really. It's more casual for me. Basketball, I'm so far away from it, college pro, that I just don't have really strong feelings at all. Like, even sort of for a Duke, that people hate Duke, you know, but I don't care that much about it. And then hockey, I think I've decided it ranged, the number of teams I hate in the NHL tends to range between 31 and 32. Sometimes it's all of them, sometimes it's all but one. Right now, you know, I'm kind of feeling a little better. Maybe you are too. It's right. It's closer to 31 right now. I am just so jealous and bitter about the rest of the league and all the teams that, you know, have had cups out of St. Louis the 1 year with O'Reilly. Like, how could you enjoy that? Unless it's really out of spite toward the Sabres, and that just doesn't feel good either. I mean, I have here and there, but it doesn't feel good to. These Vegas winning with Eichel and Washington even, that was not a Sabre thing. Florida, it's just been awful. And I kind of hate everybody in the NHL. Nobody in baseball, nobody in football mostly, everybody, even the Sabres at times in hockey. Who's going to be, here we go, you know? So they're hot right now. Even with like James Reimer in goal, they're winning games. And who knows, maybe that will continue. Philadelphia is bad. That's tomorrow. Are they going to do the thing where they get like right to the edge and the season will end? Are they going to actually do that? Like, they have 11 games left. Are they going to win 8 and get within, what would that be, 3-4 points? Could that happen? I don't know. Just somebody, it's everything. When the Sabres are, it hasn't been that many times in 14 years, but like just out, like 2 years ago, Florida was the team, and then they went on a run to the finals. There's probably like there maybe have been 5 Islanders teams that have made the playoffs in the Sabres drought, none of which were like really any good, but you got to watch that in the playoffs, and they're in, and you know, teams like that, teams that really are not as well supported. I don't really know what this is anymore. You know, for a while, it was kind of what we did to make fun of the Sunbelt teams. And like, I mean, Arizona was always an easy mark for this. Even they would get to the playoffs sometimes, but just sort of teams that really don't feel like they have that many fans, but there they are in the third round or something. Expansion teams, of course, now with Seattle. Seattle has won a playoff series. Vegas won a cup. I kind of hate everybody. And it doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel good. Football, nobody. Baseball, nobody. Hockey, everybody. There it is. Who's going to be the team? Ottawa, maybe. Like, they're going. Montreal. I'll talk to Chad DeDominicis later. Who? Maybe it's a list. Some team is going to the playoffs that maybe are not as good as the Sabres, which is just another space on the board here for this franchise for all these years of missing. It's not going to be the Penguins. It's not going to be Philadelphia, but maybe it's the Islanders. Maybe it's the Canadiens. Maybe it's the Red Wings, you know, teams that like just do not really impress at all and give you another round of why not us? Just one of these times. If you do have a take on them, I've got 3 guests today, and so we're not going to be able to really stretch out, but I'm here for it now. Like, these games at the end of the season, when they win, they're just so conflicting. For me, anyway. Maybe not for you. Maybe it's an easy time to go in there and they're up 7-1 or something, and it's like, this is just fun. It would have been. I wasn't there. It would have been fun in the middle of that game. I doubt I would have been. I'm not so, you know, it's so dark that 7-1 in the second period, I'm just like, ugh, another year. You know, just, but you have, when you process it, it does get to that. And that doesn't feel good either. So I just, what they've done with the signings and the whole seeming organizational approach this year is to focus on themselves, you know, internal, keeping their guys because we can't get others. You know, it's hard. So we're not going to do that. We're not going to maybe, I don't know, embarrass ourselves trying to dabble in free agency or, you know, strike out on trades. Not that we ever really know when that happens, but we just sort of see the bottom line. And, you know, the whole thing about how at 5-on-5, they're above average in the league, just the special teams and at times goaltending this year, it's always something. So that's what you had the big losing streak, and it still seems like almost impossible that they'll be able to, you know, survive this year. I don't know the percentage. I gave up on it when it, you know, a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was, when they started with the five-game chunks, and then they lost two or three in a row, like, I'm out. So maybe you know. I don't even know if it's actually, if it's not zero. I haven't heard that it's official, so I'll go with that. Chad will know. Chad will know. Maybe you know. 803-0550 is the number. So, yeah, I don't feel good about any NHL team. I'm sick of watching. Name them. Want me to list them? Just the teams that I lost to growing up, Boston, Philadelphia, those teams, gross. They always will be gross. The teams that are kind of bad but get in the playoffs when I can't, get out of my way. Just hate it. I hate you. The teams that, like the Lightning. How about the Lightning? Do you hate the Lightning? That's harder, isn't it? I do, because they built something when I couldn't, which is like half the league. They built something when I couldn't. And then, because I had something, but I let it get away. So the Lightning built a thing. And then there was like every year where, well, they're going to be in cap jail or something. They're going to have to start over, rebuild, dump good players. And they kind of always stayed good. One coach for a long time, you know. Well, the Sabres used to have that. And he's back, of course. But just stability and that really seemingly clean reputation, Tampa. And a couple of these years recently, I've sort of hoped that they would falter so that I could move in. Didn't happen. So we got to hate them. The teams that took our stars and won, I guess I made the point. Yeah. Sam Panayotovich coming up at 3:30, back from Vegas. We got the tournament last night, tonight, well, this weekend. Still seeing the favorites win there. We'll ask him what he sees happening. I don't know if Sam bets hockey, but I'll ask him, see what he might be thinking about. I've got one thought I wanted to run by him. It's Friday. We've talked a lot this week. Sal on two or three times talking about what's left for the Bills here and the draft, you know, now less than a month away. And with Sal yesterday, I asked him for predictions.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On, or better put, like, what's the most likely outcome for Cook and for Benford? Or not for Benford. I didn't ask him about Benford. I asked him about the other cornerback position. Like, what's the most likely thing, likely way this will play out? And he said at corner, they probably sign somebody, a veteran, and then also in the draft. And so you're sort of back on your feet, if you will, at that position. And with Cook, I laid out what I think is most likely to happen there. And if I remember right, Sal at least mostly agreed with this, but it's still, we're guessing at it, that there ultimately is a deal between the Bills and the player for what will look like really good money for a running back, and the hardcore running backs don't matter people will probably, you know, be fired up about it. Still, though, the increasing cap, as we've seen play out with big contracts again this year all over the league, everything just always goes up. And Cook and his value to the Bills. And I did also ask Sal, like, all right, so worst case, if you consider it the worst case, that Cook doesn't come back. Like, he just sort of hardline and will not play for less than 15, whatever it is. Like, he's just not here. This could happen through an injury too, but let's just say he's not on the field. What does it look like? And, you know, Sal sort of talked for a few seconds, and then he kind of said, you know, their offense is probably about the same. And that's how I feel too. So if you get there, see, that what's maybe challenging about it from the team standpoint is, I feel like Brandon Bean and the Bills should also think that. And they could think that about any player on the team, even, except for Allen. That because of Allen, you're going to be fine. And I suppose there can be limits to that. But I think mostly there aren't. I think, like I've said for years, you have that quarterback. The worst you should ever do is the middle. And to get in the middle, it's last year's Bengals, where, I mean, Burrow isn't quite Allen, I would say, but still, like, he's pretty elite. And they won 9 games, even with a defense that couldn't, you know, just handle it, couldn't manage at all. And close losses, they still end up on the cusp of the playoffs, despite what was a pretty difficult season. Like, that to me would be the worst this could go. And I don't think James Cook matters really in this too much. You have him, you don't. I think you're probably the same. If you can't run the ball, last year they could. If you can't run the ball and you think it's because, like, you don't have him for whatever reason, and you might have a lineman injury or two, and you have to throw more, you have to be more of a passing team like the Bills used to be, all right, well, I'd expect that to be fine. I would expect that to, you know, work. So then, like, what's challenging, as I started to say, you've got a player that has been important, or quote important, right? He's been productive. He's been a big part of who they are and what they've accomplished, especially last year. And so you want to acknowledge that and respect that. But if you think at the same time it's pretty replaceable, then what do you do? Then you might end up sort of to yourself kind of rolling your eyes and spending the money. And like, okay, well, this is probably not ideal, but the risks of not doing it are such that, all right, I'll just do it. Here's your $30 million for 3 years, or whatever it is that comes to. I think that's how I would expect it to go. Because, I don't know, I'd be a little surprised if Bean thought that they had to have him, you know? You think it works like that? I don't know. I'd be surprised if he thought that. I think what you've seen with the Bills is, you know, an appetite for replacing, you know, churning at that position through the draft. They've done it, is it not, at least 4 years in a row? I mean, you start with Singletary, then you go to Moss, then you go to Cook, and then you go to Davis. And, you know, you've had, remember Damian Harris, you had Latavius Murray, just sort of like having a committee, if you will, and then adding somebody from the draft every year. And this year, especially with their pick allotment, seems like the best year yet to do that, where you can go into Saturday and probably get somebody really exciting. That's one thing I want to talk to Sigmund Bloom about. I think the running backs are probably my favorite topic about this draft right now. Kind of ironic, because I've had such a indifferent attitude toward the position for a while, except for when I can, you know, tweak Bulldog with it. And you just give me anybody. Remember Ian Harditz last week talked about maybe the Bills picking a running back on day two, and I just sort of latched onto that for as long as I could. Can we just talk about this, please? We've got somebody who said it. Let's just see. Let's just talk it out. We've got somebody. Just give me an Albert Breer tweet or something. Just anybody who brings up the idea. First round especially. We had that with Travis Etienne a few years ago. Like, oh, baby. McCaffrey trade rumors, and I don't know, that's a lot of fun. But I think the depth at running back this year is my favorite thing to talk about with this draft. And this is not really going to probably matter to the Bills very much. They're not one of those teams where you have a glaring need, at least as far as we know. That could be what maybe they know on the inside when it comes to Cook, but you're not hearing that or expecting that at all. I think the Bills draft, by the way, at this point, is probably one that and I'll explain this if I feel like I need to, but it's just kind of there. Not, you know, we're not talking too much about skill positions or necessarily like big impact. You want a couple of starters from this thing, ideally, you know, picks two of the top three. We have the late first, then you have 2 seconds. You want to get a starting defensive lineman there. I heard saw a new name today from a PFF mock draft, Derek Harmon of Oregon. We've talked about a couple of other guys, interior defensive line. This is another one. I don't know anything about him, but that was just a name I saw today in a mock draft. And then cornerback two and someone else where, you know, you want to just you want to be respectable, at least. You want to be better than that in this if you can get there, but at least just, you know, not what happened with Elam, where you really couldn't ever put him on the field. I mean, it was that bad. So you'd like above replacement level here from two or even these three first picks that the Bills have. Corner, D-line, obviously that's what everybody's been talking about. And it's not that that isn't interesting, but last year was almost, for picking so late, last year was about as interesting as it can get, where you had all the different receivers that people had strong opinions about and varying opinions about. We'd have, you know, guests on almost every day, and we'll be doing that here for the next few weeks as we get closer again. But you had people who thought Keon Coleman was great, and then others who didn't, and that's worthy. And that was Brian Thomas because of his yards per route run thing, and A.D. Mitchell, and like all of, worthy, of course, that was the one that really was the story at the end of it, along with Coleman, is like, all right, what's going to happen with Xavier Worthy? So there are receivers in this thing. I just don't, I haven't gotten to a point yet where I think the names that we talk about the most, the names that you hear the most, from McMillan and Hunter, of course, who's way out of reach. McMillan will be out of reach also, it seems, but Matthew Golden, Luther Burden, and so on. There are a couple of new names that have emerged there. I just haven't gotten to a point where I see the Bills in, you know, in consideration, or they in consideration for them, first 2 days, possibly the second round, which is where some of those guys will end up. I don't think that's out of the question, but I just really don't see it at pick 30. So defense, interesting, important, needed, but not hasn't been as interesting yet to me to talk about. It's just the nature of the position. You're really talking more about when receiver, I think the way I see it, it's size, but it's also skills, agility, separation ability, contested catch, speed, that kind of thing. You sort of stack up the traits, the stats, and try to find the guy that you think is the best fit. Whereas that generally is true at defensive tackle. I'm sure a scout or Bean himself could tell you it's the same. You're just looking at the same, it's the same kind of process, but not as, you know, not as much of a range, not as much variance as we had. Part of it, I guess, is that how many receivers were in play for when the Bills picked? Like 10 different guys? The ones that went at the top were not. But once you got to Brian Thomas, who was, by the way, outstanding as a rookie for Jacksonville, like that looks like a huge hit. But from Thomas all the way down through those early second-round guys, including Coleman, including Worthy, just lots of different flavors, so to speak. We'll see. We'll have a few weeks here to kick around more ideas. All right, coming up, Sam Paniatovich, Sigmund Bloom today, Chad DeDominicis, as three great names. Sam Paniatovich, Sigmund Bloom, Chad DeDominicis. Was this just Mike picking guests based on how cool their names are? No. But it did work out that way, I would say. Thanks for being with me. Any news, of course, we'll hit you with that. And we'll talk to Sam about the tournament, some NFL stuff. Win totals for next year, and the Bills are as high a number as anybody. We'll get into that as well with Sam after this first break. Good to have you along today. This is Mike Shope. Bulldog is off through Monday. You're listening to WGR.